It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It was 40 years ago today that a unique non-commercial radio station debuted in Pittsburgh in the grimy basement of a repurposed building at 4 Cable Place in Oakland. Operating on a small budget with cobbled-together equipment, the mostly volunteer staff included crusading journalists inspired by Woodward and Bernstein, looking to shed new light on issues affecting the community, as well as an eclectic blend of music and shows dedicated to women's issues and to enlightening children. While the WYEP of today bears some resemblance to the station that went on the air on April 30th, 1974, a lot has changed as the station continues to evolve. I'm joined now in Studio A by one of the station's founders, Jeff Smith. Jeff, good to have you with us. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul. Thanks a lot for having me here.
And current general manager, Abby Goldstein. Hello, Abby.
Hello, Paul.
Jeff Smith, exactly how did WYEP come into existence, and why was it founded?
This is a 20-minute interview, right?
Yes. You can, you can take five minutes to answer the question.
Very briefly, just as many people have been inspired, like yourself, by listening to WYEP to become a volunteer, when I was living in Stanford, I heard a radio station, KTAO, in Los Gatos, California, broadcasting strange and diverse music, challenging interviews, etc. And I became interested in – I was interested in radio from childhood, listening late at night, going to bed. And I went down and asked, can I get involved? In fact, they were advertising – it was a commercial radio frequency. They were advertising that you could be a DJ for $20 an hour.
They were paying you $20 an hour? Or you
I was just going to ask that question.
You were paying them $20 an hour.
Uh-huh. Wow.
This is a commercial radio station, 95.3 on the FM dial, and the guy, Lorenzo Milam, who's a radio pioneer some will recognize, had one commercial radio account. 6 o'clock every night, he had a Ford commercial. And that was only because the agency in San Francisco liked them. So they threw him one commercial a day. But so that's how I got started. When he was interested in sponsoring individuals in different cities around the country, and he said, you know, there's people in Pittsburgh. There's a non-commercial radio frequency available in Pittsburgh. Why don't you go do that? Basically, is how it started. Go ahead.
And what kind of a struggle did you have just to get through? You know, just to get the station up and running. What did you have to go through?
Well, I have to give, I would say, most credit for the hard work of getting the station on the air to John Schwartz, who isn't here. When he learned I was in Pittsburgh, he called me from Connecticut and said, do you mind if I come out and help work on that station? I said, no, of course not. He was from Stanford. He was a kid who was running around on a Vespa doing the news reporting of student demonstrations on the campus kind of thing. And he became the general manager. And
John Schwartz,
yeah.
I remember him as having very, very long hair.
Yeah, well, longer than mine. But so he did the hard work of getting all the details done with the FCC and finding a radio facility. All the things that were going on was very difficult. I was more on the programming side. Ken Duffy, who I think you said you worked with.
Well, he was the general manager of WDUQ. When it was at Duquesne.
At the time. I asked, and he offered an hour's worth of airtime 3 days a week from 4 to 5 p.m. so we could demonstrate what the Pittsburgh Community Broadcasting Corporation would do.
What kind of a void did you feel existed? I mean, what did you think that you had to offer in terms of programming that didn't already exist on the Pittsburgh radio airwaves?
Well, there was pop commercial music. There was classical music at WQED, and there was jazz at WDUQ. Outside of that, and religious broadcasters. I don't remember how much talk radio there was back in those days, but there was not much variety. Not what we iconoclastic young kids thought should be there.
What were some of the news stories? News was a big part of the early WYEP. What were some of the things you covered, and how did you cover them?
You know, I am not the best person to ask that question to.
You told me a great story, though, about covering a city council meeting.
Oh, well, we did city council meetings. I was just going to say that John Schwartz would be the best one to ask, or Joe Coluccio, or Dean Mugianis, who were all some other names of the early people. They were much more involved in the news and public affairs. I was more involved in the cultural stuff. But yes, we did a number of remote broadcasts that would use the Bell telephone pay phones. At that time,
this is a foreign concept to people in this day and age of cell phones. But once upon a time, there used to be these things called phone booths, right?
And for a quarter, I think it was up to a quarter by that time, you could go to a payphone and unscrew the voice side of the handset and clip lead two wires. You could take connectors and two wires to the two connectors in there and dial up the radio station, which had on-air capability, and you could run a newscast from anywhere. You could go into someone's office and do a broadcast from someone's telephone.
And by bringing this to people, you were hoping to accomplish what?
Well, excitement, citizen contribution. I mean, an alternative voice to the typical news you hear on the rip and read crime fires kind of thing. We once went to one of the TV stations and we were looking for like PSA support or something like that, and they would say, "Well, just what do you think you should be doing for news? I mean, people want to know about the fires and the murders, and you know, they want to know that. Well, but isn't there something more constructive in social service issues or in even positive news? That, well, positive news doesn't sell." Anyway, that's what we felt we could contribute to the listening audience.
We're talking with Jeff Smith. He's one of the founders of WYEP. Also, Abby Goldstein's with us. She is the current GM of WYEP. One of the similarities, Abby, that exists between the station now and the station then is that so much of the staff is not nearly as much as it was 40 years ago, but much of your staff, particularly in the evenings and on weekends, is volunteer on-air people.
We do have quite a few volunteers, and it's really an honor to look at this volunteer air staff and see some of the people that have been with the station for more than half their lives. Bruce Montjoy on Sunday nights has been at the station for 35 years. Rhett Weatherspoon, who does a Saturday night blues show, has also been with the station for 35 years. So for most of the station's existence, there's been a volunteer presence on the air, and you know, these people are extremely committed to the radio station and committed to our service to the community, and that's a wonderful thing.
We asked listeners on Twitter to share their earliest memories of WYEP and their favorite moments listening to WYEP's DJs. Jen tweets, "I used to listen to Modern Times weekends when I was in college in the 90s. Strong emotional attachment to WYEP." Jeff, back in the early days, how did you staff the station? Who were some of the early on-air personalities?
Well, some of the ones that come to mind, I've been mentioning him, is a gentleman, Alan Bargerber, who was a Social Security administrator, and he did a weekly jazz show from 8 to midnight, I believe, weekly. Amir Rashid was a member of the black African-American community on the Hill in the Hill District, who came in and did he did jazz, blues, and he was a really strong presence for the African-American community for the station at that time. We were the founders. We were pretty much a white, privileged, middle-class bunch of kids. So reaching into the minority communities was important.
You also had something called the Futz Radio Breakfast. Do you remember this?
I remember the name.
The hosts were Futz and Wade, and we have a clip.
Bill Wade.
This is some of the oldest audio we have from WYEP's history, and let's listen to this, and then I'll get your reaction afterwards.
In the sky. That was that was the most moving experience I've had in quite some time. That was the O'Neill twins. It certainly was.
And they were moving right up there over the rainbow, weren't they?
If that didn't bring a little color into your life, nothing will. They're still moving. Listen, they're moving.
Moving on down.
Moving in my headphones here.
Like little worms in your brain.
Yes. That's an interesting thing about the station here. We have this control board.
About the only interesting thing.
Good morning.
Another interesting thing is interesting visitors.
We have this interesting control board where the sound bleeds from one channel to another. So if you happen to leave the tone arm on the record, even if you turn the volume control all the way down, push the switch off and everything.
Or
at any rate, at 10 o'clock in the morning, you're listening to WYEP-FM. It's 91.5 on your radio dial. A non-commercial station below it, and the commercial station above it. I'd say we're in a pretty slick location.
Wow.
It's actually just so you're not confused, you're listening to WESA 90.5, but that was audio from the early days of WYEP, which went on the air 40 years ago today, and we are talking with one of the founders of the station, Jeff Smith, as well as current GM Abby Goldstein. So, Jeff, maybe not the most polished sounding people on the air.
That's what we call a train wreck in the radio business.
Well, but it's typical, and something might happen. Somebody was in the bathroom, and the record came to an end. There might be a few seconds of silence, or someone was having trouble like they were with the control board. This was a reused RCA rotary control board. Someone was having trouble with the phone lines. Things went wrong, and there's no way of hiding it.
It's tragic or it's magic, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It was the flavor of getting something started from the ground up. You might not last the WYEP or WESA would certainly not last very long if that happened very often on the air.
Yeah, I'm guessing, Abby, you wouldn't that wouldn't fly as much today.
No, and we have better equipment. So I think we're probably in a better position.
And you also have different, more sophisticated means of raising money for the station. Apparently, Jeff, back in the days, the early days of the station in the 1970s, during a pledge drive, you literally stood on your head while you were on the air. How did that happen, and why?
Well, that seems to be becoming an urban legend. I did do it. We were desperate for funds, we weren't smart enough to make breaks for playing music again. If we had a fundraising marathon, we would set our goal like $5,000 or $10,000, or really going for it, and we would basically pitch as much as we could. I think that one of the time capsules that the station's broadcasting now goes back to one of the personalities, W.T. Koltek, played some horrible piece of punk rock music or something, whatever. It was terrible. And they said, well, we're going to keep playing this until somebody starts calling up. And the story is that then somebody called up and they stopped playing it. Someone then called up and said, when are you going to play that again? That was great. So you never know.
But you were. What happened when you stood on your head?
Sooner or later, a doctor called up and said, "You better get off your head. You've been on there for 15 or 20 minutes. That's too long." And I did, but he.
But you didn't do it without at least soliciting a contribution.
Yeah, well, we were. That's what we were doing the whole time. The whole time it was like, "Come on, somebody, call. This is not fake. I'm really like that kind of." Desperation, really.
That's that great theater of the mind where people can picture you, on your head with the blood rushing and and a concerned citizen ends up calling and making a contribution. Abby Goldstein, how much have things changed at WYEP since those early days?
Well, radically, clearly. The world around us has changed. Everything has changed. And things continue to change and evolve and move forward. So I think at this point in WYEP's life, especially as we're looking back during the 40th anniversary, we're also leaning in and looking forward and thinking about what will sustain us for the next 40 years.
And can WYEP continue to thrive in its current format?
Oh, absolutely. And, what we're learning throughout the course of this 40th anniversary year is how passionate people in the community are about this radio service and the role that WYEP plays in the larger cultural community here in Pittsburgh. And that, I think, was valid in 1974. It is valid today, and I think it will be valid for many years going forward.
And how do you see WYEP continuing to evolve? What do you see WYEP doing 10 years from now?
Well, I think we have to keep an eye on the digital landscape, and we have to be ready for digital innovation as the media landscape changes, and we've got to be where listeners want to find us. So we are thinking a lot about our strategic plan and setting some goals for the years ahead and thinking a lot about our digital presence and our digital strategy and being available in all forms and all platforms.
Somebody yesterday at a lunch in the station hosted was commenting about how we were, 40 years ago, we were all pretty young, and the profile of the station was more on the younger side. And those listeners now, I remember it back then, are getting older, and the station is going to have to stay vital with all population groups. It's going to have to reach the younger people, the college age, even the 15-year-old people who are interested in getting involved in their community. I mean, but the biggest part is staying in touch with the community.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Smith is one of the founders of WYEP, and Abby Goldstein is WYEP's general manager. Thank you so much for joining us, sharing your memories and your visions with us today on Essential Pittsburgh, and happy 40th anniversary, WYEP.
Thank you so much,
Terrific.
Paul.
Thanks for the invitation.
Coming up, as the month of April, Financial Planning Month, draws to a close, we'll take a look at what's been done to strengthen financial systems in the wake of the Great Recession. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.